now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It's great being with you every Saturday right here on CFAX 1070 from 1 to 2. I am Patty Mack. On the show today, lots of great guests as always. We're going to talk to some cruise experts about cruising. River cruises are something that we've heard a lot about, but maybe we don't know about, and is it for us? So we're going to hear about that. We're also going to talk to Jenny from the Make House about some crafts for Christmas, maybe old school crafts that you want to do with your family. But off the top, we're going to talk to Marion Kane, who is the food sleuth, writer, broadcaster, and a cook. Esther Kane is her daughter, who we have on mostly every month, who we just love on the show. And we're going to talk about Marion's career, which is just such an interesting career. Marion, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I feel like I know you already, Marion. And first of all, may I say, Esther is such a fabulous person.
Yes, of course. I'm a proud mother.
And so you should be, and I look forward to hopefully meeting you this month sometime. Talk about your career, Marion. You were born in Montreal, and then you spent your, from 4 to 19 in London. And, my mom's from England, and I had to laugh because your mom, Ruth, was a great cook. But in school, they had Spam fritters, and believe me, I had my share of Spam. It was kind of a funky thing, but you kind of enjoyed it and asked your mom to make that for you.
Well, yes, my family on my mother's side are Jewish refugees from Europe. Mm-hmm. They came to Canada in 1941, and the rest of the family perished. That's a sad note to begin on. My father was from Montreal, and they met at McGill. That's where I was born, and I lived there until I was two, then Halifax. Then we went to London, England, because following my father's career as a doctor, mm-hmm. he did medical research and he wanted to work in London. So I spent my formative years, 4 to 19, in London, England, and it was a great place to grow up, very exciting. And, it's a city of 10 million, 12 million people now. And The food was interesting because English food in those days was pretty limited, and my mother cooked European food, and also she cooked out of the joy of cooking. She bought a copy when she was in Montreal as a young married woman, and she taught herself to cook because her mother didn't cook at all. Her mother was a doctor and a career woman, and actually my mother is a scientist, but she was horrified at the fact that I would come home from school where I had daily school lunch, a hot lunch in England, subsidized by the government after the war, and ask her for things like Spam fritters.
And, I really do want to talk about later in the segment about your mom. There's a segment on your site, Mom and Me, because it's really the crux of your whole life.
Yeah.
But you came back and you were in Toronto. And so you've had, parents who are very smart, but obviously your mom also wanted to really study food because whatever she did, it sounds like she did it right. And mm-hmm. and you came to Toronto, and probably that life in London, you wanted that big city feel. And you eventually got a job at the Toronto Star. Tell us about how you got into food writing.
Well, yeah, there were quite a few years between all that. And I'll just mention the stopping points. From England, where I was 19 and left with my parents, my dad got a job in Edmonton, Alberta, and I lived there for 3 years. Then I got married and had Esther and went to North Bay. She was born in North Bay. Mm. And then I came to Toronto in the early 70s. So it wasn't until 1983 that I got a full-fledged job in food at the Toronto Sun. In between, I got a degree in languages, Russian and French.
Well, yeah. You guys are high achievers.
And then I was a social worker in Edmonton
wow.
for the provincial government. And then I got a B.Ed. And I taught adults English for 2 years. So I came to food writing in my 30s, and I realized it was my calling. It was what I wanted to do, I loved to do, I was good at it. My family were a foodie family. Mm-hmm. I mean, food was the high point of the day. My dad loved eating. My mum loved cooking. And actually, my father was a short order cook in Montreal. He put himself through medical school by slinging eggs, you know. So he used to make salami and eggs and French toast on the weekend.
Wow. So all these things came together, Marion, though, all these different careers in this life to bring you to Toronto to do food writing, which, you know, this food culture is so huge now, but you were a pioneer in this field, starting with Julia Child.
Yes, in 1983, I fell into it, literally. Somebody called me. I was doing freelance food writing, actually, for Toronto Life, restaurant reviews. And somebody called me up and said they're looking for a food editor at the Toronto Sun. And I walked in, and I had never used a computer. They were word processors in that day, you know, huge machines. And I walked in, and two men interviewed me, the managing editor and the life editor. And the life editor said to the managing editor, "Hire her," you know. And I literally, I love food and I could write, but I never, you know, really had a job like that. And I was thrown in at the deep end. And I managed to learn, when you're thrown in at the deep end, you learn very quickly, actually. So
yeah, because sometimes, you know, who's an expert on anything? We learn this stuff, right? I mean, and clearly, you met a lot of good friends through this. Tell us about some of the great interviews that you had, such as Julia Child, who I grew up with my dad watching Julia Child and loved her.
Well, in 1989, the Toronto Star called me, and they wanted me to move there. And that's Canada's largest newspaper. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to go, but I took the job. And things soon mushroomed. I became pretty busy, and, you know, I got access to a lot of famous people. I was the first one in Canada at least, to interview Jamie Oliver over the phone. I had seen him on television, on TVO, his first TV show. He was a babe, like he was 21. And I came into the newsroom the next morning and I said to a friend, "I've seen this guy on television." And this friend said, "You should call him and interview him." So I did. And then there were others. I interviewed Joe Dogs of the Mafia. He was under the witness protection plan. He'd written a cookbook called The Mafia Cookbook, and he used to phone me from parts unknown. I interviewed Anthony Bourdain, one of the first to interview him, actually. I interviewed him by phone. But the biggest star in the food world was Julia Child. And I met her in 1991. I phoned her up on the spur of the moment. Her number is in the phone book. Was, of course, she died, you know, in 2003, I think, or 4. So I picked up the phone, and she answered. And the conversation went, I was interviewing celebrity cooks about what they cooked for dinner parties, and I asked her what she would cook, and she said, "Well, I'd make a bœuf bourguignon, and I'd serve a nice pear with some cheese for dessert." And then I asked her if... she asked me, "What was Toronto like?" And I said, "Haven't you been here?" And she said, "No, no one's invited me." So I hung up the phone. I ran into John Hondrick's office. He was the publisher at the time. And I said, Julia Child should come to Toronto. She's never been. Can we bring her? And he said yes. And she came in April 1991 as the guest of our newspaper. And I became friends with her and was friends with her until she died and actually corresponded with her and went to Cambridge, Mass in 1999, and she cooked me breakfast at her house.
Oh, and was
so,
it good?
Isn't that a plum job?
What a great job. And also to meet genuine people like that who, you know, was a friend that wasn't, even though she had such fame around her, she really just loved food like you do.
Well, she loved food and she loved people.
Mm-hmm.
And food is the best way to connect with people over food.
It absolutely is. And how was her cooking when you had the breakfast? What did she make?
Oh, she was famous for her scrambled eggs.
Oh, I remember those segments on eggs, because just right? You mean not too dry?
Well, you have to cook them over a very low heat, with about an inch of eggs in the pan, and she added typically whipping cream at the end. And I know the secret, I just remembered. She kept some raw eggs back and didn't add them to the pan and stirred them in at the end.
How amazing is this? We're hearing from someone who had breakfast with Julia Child at her house. Amazing. Back in 2 minutes with Marion Kane to talk about more of her fabulous writing and food.
This program is brought to you by Marigold Nurseries.
Rain, sun, snow. We get it right with an accurate forecast. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Bells, bells, all the way.
Seriously? Bells?
That's right.
Don't you mean jingle bells?
Nope. I'm keeping all the jingle for myself this year, like 90 days of it.
Okay.
Oh,
Save some serious jingle at your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram dealer during the Be Your Own Santa event with up to $10,000 in total discounts, plus $500 in holiday bonus cash, and make no payments for 90 days. Some conditions apply.
While she was alive, Maria Sanchez loved the symphony. So, she left a bequest in her will. Tonight, her favorite symphony will present a program of Bach, Brahms, and Beethoven that she helped fund, bringing joy to a new generation of music lovers. Maria left a legacy. So can you. Leave a gift in your will to your favorite charities. Learn how at leavealegacy.ca, an initiative of CAGP Vancouver Island, supported by the Victoria Foundation.
'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, except for the mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that Christmas would be a Pets West affair. The puppies were nestled all snug in their beds, while the cats were awake, tearing the sofa to shreds. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. Aw, get off the bed, guys. We're trying to sleep. Pets West wishes you and your family a safe and happy holiday season.
Hey, you're a gardener. You have gardeners in your life, so you know what they'd like for Christmas. All that's left is to pay a visit to Marigold Nurseries and pick out a gift or two. You'll see poinsettias, fresh-cut Christmas trees, flower bulbs, gifts for gardeners and people who appreciate beautiful things. This holiday season, visit Marigold Nurseries, where great ideas are blooming. On Lochside Drive in Sanishton, online at marigoldnurseries.com.
From our growing family to yours, Marigold Nurseries.
We are back. I'm Patty Mack. You're listening to Lifestyle right here on CFAX 1070. We're talking to Marion Kane. She's the food sleuth, writer, broadcaster, cook. She's got books. She's done it all. Marion, if people want to get a hold of you, you have a great website. How do they do that?
Well, they can access my website, which is marionkane.com. I'll spell that. MarionKane.com. And I have blog posts. I'm now getting into radio, so I do radio podcasts, and I'm specializing in a 10-minute style podcast called Sitting in the Kitchen, where I talk to foodies, chefs, and just regular people about food.
Well, it's one of my favorite topics because, you know, some people live to eat. I love food. And so when Esther talked about her mom, it was like I was so thrilled to get to meet you. We're talking about the people that you've met along the way when you were working as a food editor at the Toronto Star. Keith Richards.
Yes. Well, I have not met Keith Richards. I wish I had. But here's the thing that happened with Keith Richards. I got the idea. The Rolling Stones were in Toronto for a summer. They were working on an album. And I heard stories. There were rumors. They've eaten here. They really were cloistered in a mansion. Mm-hmm. And they didn't go out much. But I heard, and I knew, actually, from musician friends, that Keith Richards loves shepherd's pie. He's so wedded to shepherd's pie. It's
such cold. A kipper, huh?
Yeah, but he won't go on stage unless he's had shepherd's pie. So
spiked,
I thought,
with something.
What a great topic. So I went to various chefs in the city, and I got their recipe for shepherd's pie. And there was like a fancy version with portobello mushrooms and this and that. There was a vegetarian version. Then there was an old-fashioned version, the English, typical English version. And I produced a feature in the food section that was the front page. And it was called Chefs Cook for Keith. Actually, I originally called it Chefs Cook for Keith, because everybody who knows him calls him Keith, K-E-E-F. And the managing editor came running into the test kitchen, and he said, "What does Keith mean?" And he changed it back to Keith. But anyway, I published this, and we had a fabulous picture of Keith Richards, a recent picture. This was many years ago. I don't know how many years ago, probably about 12 years ago. And the rock critic, Peter Howell, he was the rock critic at the time, said to me, "I'm going to take a copy. I'm meeting the Rolling Stones next week and show it to them." And he met with them, and they had seen it already, and they loved it. So Keith Richards signed it. And I have this in my house, framed, of course.
How fabulous. I love the Rolling Stones. And yes. Someone else who's fabulous, Sophia Loren, you had a three-hour lunch?
Yes. A friend of mine recently put on Facebook, "Who haven't you met, Marion, through your work?" And I said, "The Queen."
Hey, I've met her. No, seriously, I have.
You have?
With my husband, he introduced her, and it's a long story, but yes, we got to meet her. It was pretty unreal.
Well, I don't know how she'd be about food discussion. I think she's pretty conservative.
Well, she's sure tiny.
Well,
I felt very tall.
I met Sophia Loren, and I had a three-hour lunch with her about also in the 90s. She was coming to town because she did a cookbook, a very beautiful coffee table cookbook. She loves food. She is apparently a very good cook, and she cooks on movie sets and is famous for her pasta dishes. So she was coming to town, and they approached me, the publisher, because they thought I would be the right person. I was the only print person who interviewed Sophia Loren. So I thought, what can I do? I like to do unusual things, you know, not just sit in an office or, you know, somewhere interviewing people. I thought, we'll go for an Italian lunch. So I got a restaurant called Giancarlo to prepare a menu that was loosely taken from her book. And they were over the moon. They were beside themselves. They were Italian family. And, you know, Sophia Loren is as big as you get.
No kidding.
Sort of in the movie world, you know, of iconic people. So they designed a beautiful menu of small dishes. I think it was about six courses. And I went and had lunch one-on-one. The only people in the restaurant were us and Sophia's people. She had, you know, PR people and an entourage. They were sitting at the other end of the room. and the waiters, and it was a total secret. And so we had lunch, and she's very, very dignified, and she's a woman of few words, actually. But she loved the food. I could see she was wiping up the truffle oil with her bread, and, you know, I noticed she had a very nice suit on, and I said, "Oh, that's a lovely suit you're wearing." And she just said one word to me, Armani. So we were leaving.
Not Target.
Yes, we were leaving. She was going out to the limo after lunch. I was a mess. I hadn't slept the night before, and I was putting on a good show because I was... You know, pinch me. I felt like having the time I was having breakfast with Julia Child. So she was walking to the limo with a big umbrella. It was raining. And the star photographer was, you know, snapping pictures of her. And two very short Italian women came running out of nowhere. And grabbed Sophia Loren's hand, and they recognized her.
Oh.
You know, it was a beautiful moment. Yeah.
What a fascinating career. There's so much talk about. We only have about another minute left, but I do want people to look up your site, because the Mum and Me interview about what your family went through and the Holocaust is really a very important message to look at, and what your life went through because of all that.
Well, I think that's the most important work I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And people can find that. If you want to know more, you can always look up my website, lifestylewithpattymack.com. And Marion Kane is Marion, M-A-R-I-O-N, Kane, K-A-N-E. She's the food sleuth. You've got some great recipes on there as well. And are you? What are you cooking these days? What are some of your favorites?
Well, I made my mother's French apple tart the other night for a dinner party. My younger daughter had her birthday. And actually, that's not on it, but my mother's Linzer tort is on my site. I just put up a blog post about green soup because I've been trying to lose weight, and this is a delicious, easy soup, so nutritious that has no calories. You know, I don't believe in, you know, weight reduction dieting, but this is a good, healthy thing to eat. I'm 68, and I had put on a lot of weight, so I'm shedding it.
It happens. And what about the beef stroganoff? Do you have a recipe of your mom's for that?
Oh, yes. That's on there.
Oh, I've got to make that.
Yeah, my mother's beef stroganoff is superb. My mother now uses my recipes of her recipes.
Wow.
Because I've refined them, you know, and I've tested them multiple times. I made her Linzer tort 6 times one evening. To
wow.
perfect it.
Wow. Well, it has been such a pleasure, Marion, to talk to you. I look forward to meeting you later this month. And I hope we can have you back on again, because I think we've just tapped at some of the stories.
I would be happy to.
That would be excellent. Thank you so much, Marion. All the best to you.
Oh, all the best to you.
When we come back after the news, we're going to talk about river cruising with Lynn Arnold and Elwyn Tomlinson, and learn what you can know about river cruising, and maybe it's for you. Back.
The Source is the place for I want that. So when you bought everyone else gifts and thought, I could really use a $25 holiday bonus card for myself, who gave you just that? The Source. And when you said, really? That's exactly what I wanted. Who said, yes, really? Get yourself something nice. The Source. Save on brand name TVs, cameras, headphones, and more. And this week, get a $25 holiday bonus card with any purchase of $100 or more. See flyer at thesource.ca for more details. The Source. I want that.
Test driving the all-new Lexus IS is easy. Turn right out of the dealership and head towards a sense of oneness with the road. Hang a left when your pupils dilate and the hairs on your neck go electric. Merge with a feeling of power and control. Then return to the dealership and bask in the afterglow. Sport-tuned suspension, aggressive body lines. Come see how it feels.
Lease a 2014 Lexus IS for only $535 per month with zero down for 48 months at 3.9% APR. See newspaper or visit Metro Lexus for more details.
This is Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
It's 1:30. Good afternoon in the CFAX newsroom. I'm Rob Freeman. A man tried to hold up the Tom Lee Market on Fowl Bay Road in Oak Bay last night. At around 8 o'clock, the suspect handed the clerk a plastic bag and told her to empty the till into it. Oak Bay Police Constable Julie Shannon says the clerk stalled by calling out to her co-worker.
And during that time, the robbery suspect grew impatient and with that fled the market. Prior to fleeing the market, he haphazardly sprayed what is believed to be pepper spray around the cash area as well as the entrance of the market.
Both workers were treated by paramedics for exposure to that spray. Police are now looking for a white man, 5'9", 190 pounds, between the age of 45 and 55. A 15-year-old boy has died after an assault in Surrey overnight. Police and paramedics were called at about 2:45 this morning for some kind of attack involving four or five people. The boy was rushed to Peace Arch Hospital but died at about 10:20 this morning. Homicide investigators are now handling the case. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency has issued a recall for Serengeti Trading brand ready-to-eat meat products. They contain mustard or sulfites, which are not declared on the label. The products include Trading Chili Bites and Trading Traditional Drawers. The CFIA says no one has reported getting sick so far. And in Calgary, the parents of a baby whose death was related to malnutrition have been charged. Police say a 14-month-old boy died a day after he was taken to hospital by his parents in November of 2013. An autopsy and other tests determined John Clark's death was related to malnutrition. Police arrested the boy's parents yesterday after what they call a long and complex investigation. 38-year-old Jennifer Clark and 34-year-old Jeremy Clark have both been charged with criminal negligence causing death and failure to provide the necessities of life. They'll be in court on Monday. CFAX weather is next.
I love this stupid town, and I, for one, think it's worth fighting for.
They're back on CTV.
This is incredible news.
Corner Gas the Movie.
We may not be quaint, but we're tremendous liars.
Brings the faces you know and love.
All right.
In an epic struggle to save Dog River.
How much did we lose?
All of it.
Go to ctv.ca for extras.
Finally get to see a robot fight a werewolf.
CTV's network premiere of Corner Gas the Movie.
Now you just made it weird.
Wednesday at 8 on CTV.
CFAX weather, sun and cloud today, a high of 8 degrees, mainly cloudy tonight with a low down to 3, and sun and cloud again tomorrow, and a high of 9. Right now in downtown Victoria, it is 8 degrees. I'm Rob Freeman. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. It's 1:33.
There's nothing like Christmas in downtown Victoria. The lights, the shopping, plus the Ferris wheel and the horse-drawn trolley tours. Hi, it's Al Farabee. The Downtown Victoria Business Association makes it fun to come downtown for Christmas. You can enjoy the Ferris wheel Friday through Sunday and climb aboard the trolley Saturday and Sunday until December 21st. So bring the family and get into the holiday spirit downtown from the DVBA, City of Victoria, and CFAX 1070.
Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
We are back. I'm Patty Mack. You're listening to Lifestyle right here on CFAX 1070 every Saturday from 1 to 2. We're going to talk about river cruising right now because I think it's something we see a lot of commercials about. We don't really know what it's about, what kind of boats are involved, where they go, and what it exactly means. Joining me in the studio, Lynn Arnold and Elwyn Tomlinson from Expedia Cruise Ship Centers. How are you guys?
We're excellent. Great, Patty. Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. Now, you suggest this as a topic because, you know, we see a lot of things about river cruising, and there's a lot of really experienced cruisers in Victoria. And river cruising is maybe something they haven't tried. Lynn, why is river cruising, you know, the up-and-coming thing that people want to do right now?
Well, it is the fastest-growing segment of the travel market, and there's dozens of new and improved ships are being launched every year.
Are they smaller ships, Lynn?
They are much smaller ships.
So they can't go down these rivers unless they're, like, no. How many people would
typically
that be?
Typically, they're between 100 and 200 guests, and because they have to go through all of these locks, they can only be a maximum width. So they're quite narrow, quite small, very much confined by the locks in the river. So it's a much more intimate cruising experience. Mm. An ocean cruise ship, as you know, can have, you know, 2,000, 3,000
Yeah, depending on what
or
kind
more
of
people.
Cruise ship, of course.
So this is only a very small group of people. It's like a fine floating hotel going down the river, stopping at all the little villages, and you get to know all the people that you're sailing with. Never
or
any
not.
Lineups.
A river cruising. What is the difference, like, for people that maybe don't want to know everybody? Is there also privacy? If you do you have your own suite, you have your own stuff, or do you have to share the big table with everybody, or is it very elitist? Like, maybe some people think river cruising is a different echelon. Is it more money?
Not at all, actually. It's actually a very friendly way to travel, but you get to choose. If you want your own space, a lot of the new ships have private balconies, just like they do on the ocean-going ships. Mm-hmm. So if you want to just sit out there and watch the world go by on your own balcony, not talk to anyone else, you can do that. If you want to be social and meet people from all over the world, you can go up to the top of the ship and you can see the beautiful views of the river as you go by. It's a very immediate form of cruising. It's not like there's nothing to see. There's always something to see. You're going by beautiful little towns, vineyards, and you can, it's so close, you can actually wave to the people on the shore and they wave back and call to you. it's a very, you know, there's always something to see and do.
You know, you paint a really nice picture there, because I can feel that when you say that it's more intimate, that you're not out in the ocean for days on time. You're always involved in something. And Lynn, you were just pointing out when we were talking to Marion Kane about Julia Child, you know, Rachel, our daughter's in Rouen, France, right. And you said you were on a cruise just lately.
Just recently.
And what's special about Rouen?
Well, just relating to the previous interview, Julia Child's first restaurant is there, which we visited. It's an absolutely stunning place. Unfortunately, we didn't have a chance to actually eat there, but it was beautiful.
Oh, that's so cool. I haven't heard that. Of course, Rachel probably doesn't know who Julia Child is, but, you know, that's besides the point. What do you like about the river cruising? When you wake up in the morning, are you in a port every night, Lynn, or are you always traveling? How does it kind of work compared to an ocean
cruise? It varies. Sometimes you travel in the day, sometimes you travel in the evening, but often you'll be in you may have two excursions in one day. You may get out off in the morning and walk into some little town and have a little tour of a town, or as Elwyn said, a vineyard. Mm. Get back on the ship, maybe cruise down the river a little further, have a beautiful lunch in the dining room while you're going, and then have another little tour in the afternoon of some other attraction.
How nice. And Elwyn, what kind of places, what kind of areas are big enough to have these river cruises? What kind of rivers are involved, and how long would they be?
Well, because of the size of the ships, it's not like the big ocean cruisers where maybe 6,000 people might disgorge at one point. Yeah. on the river ships, it's a small amount. So really, even small towns can handle having a ship stop. So it's very much very itinerary driven. So you can choose from many, many river cruises all over the world. Most people do think of Europe, the Danube, the Rhine, the Moselle rivers, the rivers in France, for example, but there are actually river cruises all over the world. You can go to Myanmar, you can go to Vietnam, Cambodia, China, India, Africa, all have
really? Yeah, yeah, you totally do cruises. Think of that European thing. But seeing Europe, even if that's your destination, mm-hmm. seeing Rouen, for instance, Lynn, these are places that you might go to Paris, but you wouldn't go to some of these small places if you were traveling usually other ways.
Probably not, and maybe that's where I could mention that's part of the value of the river cruise. You had mentioned they're expensive, and it may be a little more expensive up front, but it is a very all-inclusive vacation. All your tours are included, food is included, sometimes even all of your gratuities, wine and beer with lunch and dinner is always included.
Well, there's value right there.
There you go.
And I think also, you know, not having to go to a, you know, maybe on a tender and all these sort of things, that you mm-hmm. are actually at a dock all the time, so that you're just stepping out into some little beautiful area. Yeah. Tell us some of your favorite spots you've been to, Elwyn, that kind of
Well,
piqued your interest to go back even maybe?
Oh, I would go back to any of them in a heartbeat. They are fascinating. All of these towns and cities were built on the rivers. They were built there because of their location for shipping and transportation. So the history of all of these places is very long. So there is everything from Greek to Roman to medieval history all in one town. So it's fascinating to go off and do these tours. The last one that we did was in the south of France. And it was this perfect marriage of wine, culinary, history, both modern and, you know, so everything from, as I say, we saw Greek temples, we saw Roman ruins, we went to medieval walled towns. We went to a truffle farm and found out how they train the dogs to retrieve the truffles. We went to lots of different vineyards and markets in the cities where they took us in to see, you know, how the local shop. You can actually shop with the chefs on board. And that's actually, while I'm on the subject of food, the chefs on board, because it's a small ship, are very, very amenable to catering to people with dietary restrictions. So people who need salt-free or who need
gluten-free
or whatever, it's very simple for them. The chefs actually get off in each of the towns and cities, go to the local markets and buy what they need. You see them shopping and buying fresh fruit and everything. So it's very nice in that the, you know, you're not sort of a one of thousands lost in a crowd. The staff know you. They know what your likes are.
I think it sounds like you wouldn't really want to go home after this because you're just so pampered. When we come back, we're going to talk more about river cruising.
Mornings with Al Farabee.
You know, every morning we give you what you want. Local news that we update every 15 minutes or breaking stories as they happen. Weather and traffic every 10 minutes so you get to work on time and safely. Sports, we cover everything from local sports to the Canucks and more. And we talk to the newsmakers of the day every morning. Great prizes, all that, and we have a little bit of fun too. Victoria's favorite way to start the day.
Mornings with Al Farabee. Weekdays 5 to 9 on CFAX 1070. Now, CFAX 1070 Community Connection.
Brought to you by Fairway Markets.
Hi, Victoria. I'm Caitlin Livingston, letting you know what's going on around the area. Get into the holiday spirit with CFAX Santa's Anonymous and the Victoria Public Market until 2:30 today. Kids can decorate gingerbread cookies supplied by the Tart Cart and write special letters to Santa Claus that will be delivered to the North Pole. Include your address and Santa will even write you back. Our very own Santa Bear will be there selling miniature huggable teddy bears to take home and love. Bears are only $10 each. And CFAX presents Buffy St. Marie in a sold-out show tonight at Mary Winter Center. Our listeners who won tickets to the show will have a great time. And New Year's Day is coming up quickly. Hope you're getting ready to join us on the 39th annual Polar Bear Swim at Thetis Lake. And a reminder that the DVBA Ferris Wheel is back in Centennial Square. That has been your Community Connection brought to you by Fairway Market. No club cards, no points, no gimmicks, just great card-free pricing.
Fairway Markets makes it easy to celebrate the season and save. Look for these great deals in your Fairway Flyer. Young turkey, frozen grade A, 98 cents a pound, limit of one with $50 order. Island Farm salted butter, $3.99, 1 pound package. And Tropicana juice, $3.99 for the 1.75 liter carton. Come down to Fairway Markets for the Yuletide celebrating event today.
No club cards, no gimmicks, just great card-free pricing at Fairway Market.
They come to you. You don't gotta move, you ain't gotta lift a finger, you can put your feet up, smell the roses, seize the day, sit back and relax until the cows come home. Because Tom's RV Service and Supplies offers mobile winterization. They'll come right to you, winterize your RV, check all your seams, and be on their way. It's easy, simple, straightforward, elementary, uncomplicated, and effortless. Get your RV winterized by Tom's RV Service and Supplies Mobile Winterization. Do it now, do it better with Tom's RV Service and Supplies off Jacklin Road in Langford.
CFAX Sunday, the biggest stories of the week, revisited with all your favorite hosts. Sunday morning at 8 on CFAX 1070.
are back. I'm Patty Mack. You're listening to Lifestyle. In the studio today, we have Lynn Arnold and Elwin Tomlinson from Expedia Cruise Ship Centers. We're talking about river cruising, and in the break, there was like, oh, we should talk about that. And one of them was what's included, solo travelers, blah, blah, blah. So let's start with what's included, Elwin.
Well, as we said before, the costs for river cruising, although they seem a bit higher, it's really only that you pay for it all at once. So they include almost everything. You can expect little to no bill at the end of your cruise, as opposed to some of the ocean cruise where you may still owe another couple thousand dollars for your bar bill and your shore excursions and all of those things, yeah. Because everything is pretty much included in so all of your entertainment, your accommodations, your food. On some of the cruise ships, all of your alcohol. On some, just wine and beer. Mm-hmm. Transfers are even included for many of them. So you can see that it's, you know, you don't get nickeled and dimed every day for bottled water and fancy
or
coffee
soda pop
and
or
things
anything.
Like that. Yeah, no, that's all
that
included.
Before.
Yeah.
What about entertainment? What kind of entertainment do they have?
Well, it's a little bit different entertainment than what you might see on an ocean cruise, a great big ocean cruise ship with the Broadway-styled shows. You won't see that type of entertainment. But what we do see often is that they will actually stop at these little towns and villages and bring on local entertainers, which is really interesting. And they might sing or dance or put on some type of other act.
That's a great idea.
Very, 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 very interesting. And then there's always also on board, you know, a lounge pianist, that type of thing. But it's really the local entertainment that can be really very exciting to watch.
That's unique. And a solo traveler, are there advantages to being
there
a solo
are.
Traveler?
There's many dates that have no or low single supplements. And we find there's a lot of single people who actually travel on the river cruises.
It sounds
and
like
so
a nice
for
way
them,
to do
it's
it.
A nice way to interact with other travelers. And again, as Elwin was saying earlier, as much or as little as you like.
Yeah, exactly. And you were saying about seasickness.
Yeah.
That's a big thing because, you know, you go on a cruise ship on the ocean and you sometimes see people with patches here and
exactly,
bands and all kinds of stuff.
For people who struggle with motion sickness, river cruising is definitely a must try. The rivers are flat, they're smooth, they're calm. You never struggle with any kind of motion sickness with them. And so that's a real plus for some people. And what's, I think it's the experience on the river. I'm actually going to read you a little thing that I stole out of someplace because it is so descriptive of the experience. Your ship rolls along the river past onion-steepled churches, medieval castles and monasteries, hills layered with vineyards, small villages, and people of the country at work and at play. And that just summarizes it in a sentence. This is what you experience as you're going along the rivers.
Wow, that sounds really nice. And then also while you're on board, I think Ellen was saying there's quite a mix of people in that different backgrounds because it's not a huge ship. So everybody's coming from all over. It's not maybe necessarily from your hometown. And sometimes if you do a local Mexican cruise or whatever, sometimes you get a lot of people from Vancouver or Victoria.
Right.
This is going to be a real mix of different and ages too, right?
Definitely a mix of ages. It's certainly not for the elderly. It's for a very active set. They have all kinds of things you can do on board, such as the complimentary bicycles that they have. Some people like to get off in these little towns, ride the bikes around.
Oh, and that's neat.
Rather than doing a walking tour or some other type of excursion, they prefer to do the bicycles.
So they're right on board and you just
they're
take
right
one
on
out
board.
Off you
yep.
go.
You could even conceivably pedal down the road and meet up with your ship a little later on.
Yeah, there's
I'm
great.
I'm sure that's happened. Huh?
There are great trails all along the river. So if your ship is making two stops in a day, you can leave the ship in the morning at the first town and ride all along these river paths and then meet them when they're in the next. So
it's not like these horror stories of people in Mexico or whatever, they get left behind.
No, waving at the ship as it leaves.
And they have theme things. things too. You were saying like theme events?
They do because of the size of the ship. It really makes it very easy for them to do for example, a wine themed cruise where they will have a wine master come on board or a person of a famous vineyard or whatever will come on board, and they will sort of theme a whole cruise around wine, and they'll stop at different vineyards. And those are very popular, of course, in Europe, especially in the south of France. In Portugal, the Douro River, one of the very first places that they actually produced wine. So there's a lot of that. There are gardening ones, you know, for gardeners. So, for example, there's a tulip time cruise. Those run in the spring, and you get to go to Kuchenhof Gardens to see the fabulous spring display of tulips and daffodils and all of that. There are historical events like World War I and II, as specifically, you know, if that's your interest, art. One of the really cool ones that I've done, actually, is a holiday market cruise. So in Europe, the holiday markets are a huge thing. And so they theme the cruise for you to stop at all these wonderful markets all through Germany and Austria and so on. And
Rachel's Austrian markets look amazing. Yeah. We're going to talk about insurance, but maybe next time you're on, because that's an important thing to always take note of. Lynn Arnold and Elwyn Tomlinson are from Expedia Cruise Ship Centers. If you want to get a hold of you, email?
You can email us or you can phone us. It's a long email.
Okay, how about your phone number?
About the phone number? Our office phone number is 250-477-4877.
And if you want to know more about my guests ever, you can contact me, lifestylewithpattymack.com. Stick around. We got another segment left with Jenny from the Makehouse talking about a few crafts. Back in 2 minutes.
When we were building our home, I wanted it to be original. So I decided to build it entirely out of glass. The walls, the ceiling, even the beds. And look, here comes my husband now in the Ferrari. Ooh, darling, the garage door is down. You may not be able to notice because it's made of glass.
When you need glass replaced right away, call First Response Glass. Hassle-free, First Response Glass fixes it.
While he was alive, Coach Jim Bindley loved to enrich kids' lives through sports. So, he left a bequest in his will. Today, four kids are looking forward to soccer camp because he is sending them there. Coach Bindley left a legacy. So can you. Leave a gift in your will to your favorite charities. Learn how at leavealegacy.ca, an initiative of CAGP Vancouver Island, supported by the University of Victoria.
Hey, you're a gardener. You have gardeners in your life, so you know what they'd like for Christmas. All that's left is to pay a visit to Marigold Nurseries and pick out a gift or two. You'll see poinsettias, fresh-cut Christmas trees, flower bulbs, gifts for gardeners and people who appreciate beautiful things. This holiday season, visit Marigold Nurseries, where great ideas are blooming. On Lochside Drive in Sanishton, online at marigoldnurseries.com.
From our growing family to yours, Marigold Nurseries.
To all their customers, past and future, Paul, Ron, and the staff of Irwin Industries wish you a joyous Christmas, good health, and prosperity in the new year. Irwin Industries, the last roof you will ever need at irwinvi.com.
This program is brought to you by Marigold Nurseries.
We are back in the studio. Lynn Arnold and Elwyn Tomlinson are still here, and I'm joined by phone by Jenny Ambrose from the Make House.
How are you, Jenny? Jenny.
Hello? Sounds like Jenny's talking to somebody.
I'm talking to my dad.
Oh, hi, Jenny. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Excellent. Now, Jenny, the Make House is a really fun place. I reupholstered a chair there, which is still seems unbelievable that I did that. Before we talk about the fundraiser, what kind of a cool craft or something that we can do at home with our kids?
You could make your own Christmas decorations.
Mm. And how do you do that?
Well, you can cut out fabric and cut them into shapes like baubles. We're actually doing baubles, Christmas trees, and hearts that could be hung up and put on a tree, or they could be hung from a doorknob, or they could be hung anywhere around the house.
That's a great idea. So you just get some fabric. Now, do you fill them with something or just...
Sew them. So sew them inside out, turn it right side out, and then you could stuff it. You could put some fresh lavender inside.
What a great idea. Of course, I failed sewing, so you know, I know you've offered to give me some free classes.
Yes.
To help me with my sewing challenges, but yeah, I don't know if you heard this one, Lynn. I handed in a dress that had a tag on it.
You handed?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a bad
Go
mistake.
Patty.
I didn't say I was that intelligent. Jenny, you're also working on a fundraiser day. Tell us about that.
So we're doing a fundraiser today for the Mustard Seed, and we have a live jazz trio playing in the store. And they're going to be performing the original music from A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Oh, how nice.
And yeah, and so we do have an upright piano that lives here, so we're making use of that today. And we have great musicians. We have Sean Drabbit playing the bass and Brent Jarvis playing the piano and John Lee on the drums.
Now, I know that's the other side of your life, that you're very involved in music and you really yeah. know the best of talent. Tell people where the Bakehouse is.
We're at 833 and a half Fort Street between Blanchard and Quadra. And we're nestled right in with the antique shop.
It's a really cool location, and Jenny is bringing back all the skills that people used to have, and you've really made a success of it, Jenny.
Thank you. Well, Victoria's really welcomed the concept of the store, and we've made it past the 2-year mark now, so we had a birthday in the autumn.
That's awesome. And why did you choose the Mustard Seed?
Well, the Mustard Seed is a very important charity. I mean, I'd say Mustard Seed and our place locally probably do the most for the homeless, and this is the time of year where food banks need the most, and so yeah, it was just a natural choice, and they've been great to work with. So we're collecting food donations today as well. So anyone who can't make the show but just wants to drop off and donate can. We have a silent auction taking place too, so we have a few really great donations to try and raise a little bit more cash. And just to mention that the tickets for adults are $10 for today that go straight to the Mustard Seed, but kids under 12 are free. And we'll have a crafting table open where kids can come and make decorations. Well, kids and adults, really.
Well, that sounds like a really fun event, Jenny. Yeah. And how are you doing so far?
Great. I'm in the process of rearranging furniture to accommodate people.
Well, I think that's the thing. It doesn't have to be a huge space, but the important thing is to give back, and I know you always do that.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's so great to be able to do something fun for our customers, for the parents to be able to join the kids in the fun, because they often drop them off, and the kids have all the fun. And so today it's about everybody coming together, and including my niece and nephew who like tearing it up in here, and they love live music too. So
now I know you design clothes and all kinds of stuff, and you're big mm-hmm. into sewing. Why do you think it's so important to do some crafts to get back to those kind of roots?
Well, I think that people spend so much time shopping in malls, and it's very faceless. I think that doing things yourself, whether you're making gifts or making something for yourself, you're going to get a lot more out of it, and it's a skill as well as a creative outlet. I mean, you know, if you have even just very limited sewing skills, you can do minor alterations. You can hem your own pants, and all that money that people spend over a lifetime really adds up, especially if you've got family.
Absolutely,
as well.
And the Makehouse is on Fort Street. The address again?
833 and a half.
So drop by for the Charlie Brown fundraiser supporting the Mustard Seed. And you can look on Jenny's website, lots of different courses coming up, not just sewing, all kinds of different things, although you can sew knickers. Hello.
I'll mention quickly, too, that Sean and Brent will be presenting A Charlie Brown Christmas, an evening version, next Saturday at Herman's. So we get a very special addition here for our fundraiser day. It starts at 4:00, so there's still lots of time to get down here. You could come straight from Tuba Christmas.
Sounds fantastic. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, Elwin. TJ, as always, until we meet again, get out there and enjoy your life.